Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Fanboy Comics Podcast. Of course, I'm your host Clay, and today is a very, very, very special day. Today we're going into a brand new book. Of course, we have been doing this new format of reviewing volumes instead of chapters. It gets us caught up faster, and we are starting a new one, that being Black Clover. And of course, the one person I thought of when it came to this book was the one person that just cannot stop talking about it and has been begging me to read this title for so long, ever since I even bought the app to read this stuff. My buddy Jake here has been telling me, you need to get on it, you need to get on it, you need to get on it.
It's the best.
And I finally found some time, dude. So, Jake, how you been doing tonight?
Dude, I've been doing pretty good. You know, it's hot right now in California. We're going through a crazy heat wave, and like half the state is on fire right now. So like I woke up this morning and, you know, I get up and I go to work and it's still dark. The sun's not out. But like by the time I had stepped outside and the sun was out, it was like red. And I'm talking like almost like a crimson red. And the sky was yellow. And there's like ash falling from the ground because of all the fires around us. And it just looked like
that
something out of the
apocalypse. It's terrifying.
It was like, I was like, okay, for sure. The world is for sure ending in 2020. Like, I've lost all hope at this point.
Hey, like, were you anywhere near the fire nados that they were talking about, like, just the other day? Like, or no?
So that's like up by Tahoe, I think, where they were talking about those.
Okay.
And that's only about 2 hours away from me. Like, I'm right in the valley, and we're, like, surrounded by fires right now. It's crazy. Like, I could see, it looked like it was snowing, but it was ash falling from the sky.
That is terrifying.
Yeah.
That is absolutely terrifying. You know, and it's stuff like that that I tell my wife, like, we want to get the hell out of Dodge whenever it comes to Texas. Just because my wife has never been anywhere really outside of Texas. Mm-hmm. And we've lived here for majority of our lives. So we're like, hey, we want to try something new. And so she, you know, we've been having this notion of going to North Carolina. But she's like, what about other places? And, you know, we recently saw everything that's happening in California. And she's like, yeah, I don't think I could make it in California. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think I could. And I, like, it is terrifying because I feel like since 2015... maybe even before that, I feel like there has been a major fire in California every single year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's pretty common, but, like, yeah, there's been some huge, massive ones that have just been, like, the past couple of years, like you said. Yeah, they just come through, and around this time of year, it's just fire season. I mean, we have, like, the Smokey the Bear mascot that, you know.
That is terrifying. Not tornado season. It's not tsunami season. It's not hurricane season. No, it is fire season. Mm-hmm. Like, that is something that the human race should not have to worry about.
It sounds like something out of Avatar, right? It's terrifying, man.
Oh, my
God. I'm just like, I'm lucky.
I've actually been rewatching that, but it's just stuff like that. It's like, what's next, you know?
Aliens.
And I'm scared to ask the question because 2020 is like, oh, I still have another 4 months with you, man. And it's just like, oh God.
Yeah, what?
Oh God.
And just keep up in the ante. And I don't know if you also knew this, but like, okay, so do you know about the San Andreas Fault that like runs up California, the big massive like earthquake fault?
Yeah. I know about it. Yeah, what's
okay,
up?
Okay, so about a week ago or so, at the very end, towards, like, the Gulf of Mexico, where it ends, there was a bunch of, like, tiny earthquakes going on, and everybody was like, oh, great, because we're long overdue for, like, the massive big one that comes, like, every 130 years, I believe, and we're, like, at, like, 100 and, like, I want to say we're, like, almost 20 years past due for it, like, on...
Is terrifying.
So that's, like that's, like, the most 2020 like thing to happen right now, so...
Like in the midst of all the fires, just having a giant fucking earthquake. Jesus Christ. I'm going to knock on wood for you there, buddy.
But, yeah, California's not the place to be right now.
But going to this book, I want to ask you, you know, I told you that it wasn't going to be more like my interviews, but I do have to ask, what brought you to this book? I know you're an avid manga reader. But was it just for the fact that there was a new title? Did somebody talk to you about it? Like, what drew you to this title?
So this is actually a pretty funny story. Blake, my co-host for the Nerdgrounds podcast, he actually is not the biggest anime or manga reader, but he recommended the animated me originally after watching two or three episodes, and he didn't watch any more than that. But I got on, and I originally only watched the first episode, and I gotta be honest, Asta, the main character, kind of annoyed me at first. I'm being 100% honest, he kind of annoyed me.
I will say this, it's one of the notes that I made. Asta, however you pronounce it, he is a Naruto character. He is 100% Naruto Uzumaki when you first meet him. And, you know, he's kind of obnoxious. He's always yelling. He has the trope of that hero in mangas. Mm-hmm. Like, genuinely. Just, like, really quirky. Like I said, very loud. I really didn't expect this to be a magic-based manga. You know, just seeing what I saw on, like, GIFs on Twitter and seeing the aesthetic, you know, seeing him have this giant sword, I kind of felt that it was somewhat, okay, this is going to be, like, older times, not necessarily modern, but I didn't expect it to be so magically based. Mm-hmm. And I think I like it like that. It's like a really fucked up Harry Potter.
Yeah, that's like, a great way to put it.
it's so weird because like you have like your houses, which would be the clubs or
the squads.
The squads of the different knights. So it's very much in the realm of Harry Potter, but you can't expect the like, oh boy, you know, that's more fucking Disney, but you know, it's
yep.
It's crazy. It really, really is.
Oh, just you wait. You know, just you wait. It gets dark quick.
I read the first volume, but I took notes for every chapter. Mm-hmm. Chapter one, well, really quick before we jump into it, I actually want to read the summary that they had on the Shonen Jump app. It says, young Asta was born with no magic ability in a world where magic is everything. In order to prove his strength and keep a promise with his friend, Asta dreams of becoming the greatest mage in the land, the Wizard King.
Yes.
That was another really, really cool aspect, that there is like this, like almost, you know, we made the joke about the Avatar. It almost feels like it's very like, okay, every so often there's this like huge mage that is like ruler over all type thing. I don't know everything because like I said, I've only read up to volume mm-hmm. one, but it seems like every so often that Wizard King, after he dies, he is either like a new one just reappears, kind of like the Avatar. So in chapter one, we get introduced to our characters. We see Asta, we see Yuna. We learn about the Magic Knights, or at least the premise of it. And we learn about grimoires. Grimoires are the spell books, basically. Am I correct?
Yeah, that's pretty much like how you compared it to Harry Potter, how every wizard has their own wand that is given to them when they, you know, become of age and kind of helps them. You know, they kind of have their magic beforehand, but this just amplifies everything. Yeah. And kind of gives them their own unique niche, you could say. So that grimoire would be like the same thing as the wand in Harry Potter.
Yeah, it's really cool. You know, I called it a spell book, but you're right. It's more like a wand because from what I've seen, there's not actually anything in this book or this grimoire, whatever it is necessarily. But we see that when they go into this, I actually have it open mm-hmm. here, chapter one, when you see them actually get introduced, we learn about this, we learn that they are all super young, they're at the age of like 15 when all this starts, mm-hmm. We see that they're going to get their grimoires, and actually, Asta doesn't get one at first,
no.
Because, like the summary said, he is not magically gifted. But one person that is very gifted, we learn, is Yuno.
Mm-hmm.
Yuno gets this grimoire of the four-leaf clover, which apparently is the symbol of the Wizard King. And he kind of has this, like, badass moment of, like, I'll become the Wizard King. And, like, he's very passionate about that. And we learn that he's very gifted through this. We see that he is quickly, like, detained by this random dude. I can't remember his name.
Revchi.
But he... Yeah, Revchi. Of chain magic. That's what he is. Mm-hmm. And this is where we learn about the promise. And the promise that Asta made to Yuna. When they are both orphans. And we learn that Yuna was actually being picked on at a young age. And Asta was like, fuck you, dude. You don't get to pick on my friend. And he got beat the fuck up. He got tore up.
Mm-hmm.
But it was with that they promised each other that they were going to do whatever they can to become the Wizard King.
Yes.
And this is when Asta gets, like, a moment of, like, I guess, inspiration or whatnot, but a grimoire actually comes to him, and it has 5 leaves or 5 cloves, and we learn that that is the symbol of the devil. And I'm like, what?
Plot twist. Yeah.
Like it's, you know, it is kind of stereotypical that, like, some of our heroes have, like, this, like, evil power that they usually use for good.
Mm-hmm.
But the way this book was going, I was not expecting that at all. And so I did write in my notes, is Asta a conduit of the devil? Because if that's true, that's going to be epically, like, terrifying. Because, like I said, I haven't read anything before this. I haven't seen much as far as the gifts. Like, I've seen in the future, he has, like, this power-up where he has, like, tattoos and shit. I want to get there. I don't know how far that is.
Yeah, it's about 100 chapters or so.
What? Holy shit.
Yeah. It's worth it. Well worth
it. But this grimoire helps summon this huge-ass sword where he is able to defeat this enemy, and they, you know, they then make up the promise again, we'll see who becomes the Wizard King. You know, looking at this first chapter, Jake, like, what were you expecting after that? Like, did you automatically fall in love with it, or were you like, oh, I have to keep going. I want to see if I can get into this.
So I was pretty sold after the whole devil part, like you'd mentioned. Like, that was something that was really, like, really caught my attention, and that's what I'm really looking for in a first chapter, is something that's going to make me, like, I'm going to have questions that I want answered right away. And obviously, they still aren't answered, a lot of them. But, yeah, I mean, that was one of those ones where that was probably the single fact that really kept me going, and it just gets better and better every chapter, and it was just really good. I was sold pretty much after chapter one.
Yeah, you know, in chapter two, we see that some time has passed. There's actually this, like, an exam that they have to do.
Mm-hmm.
So this gave me, like, freaking My Hero Academia vibes. Okay, you know, they all have to gather. They have to probably duel one another and things like that. And so I'm like, oh, shit, we're going to get, like, magic duels. This thing is going to get pretty intense. And we learn that there's these, like, magical animals, these birds, that are rumored to flock around people who have very small magical abilities or whatnot. And we see some people, like, getting bothered by them or whatnot, and freaking, you know, no birds are touching him whatsoever. You know, he's just chilling. But we see freaking Asta come up to him, and these birds, like, there are, like, 20 of these things attacking his face, just pestering him. But he is not bothered whatsoever at first. And then he's like, what the hell are these things doing? And you realize Asta's got, like, no chance in this fucking exam. There's no way. Absolutely no way. But one thing that I did notice here was that their mage in their hometown of Hage, which is hilarious, but the wizard in Hage, he somehow recognized the grimoire. Now, I'm not sure if that has been answered as far as what you've seen or read in the manga or anime, but that immediately, that I was like, oh shit, he knows something. Like this, you know, he's an older guy, so I'm sure he's lived through a lot of fucking drama through these lands. And so you're like, okay, that's something to take note of. So I actually did. But we see this guy that Asta bumps into. Yami, I think is his name.
Yes.
Dude, I saw that dude and I was like, Aizawa, what are you doing in here? Like he, dude, the face, the hair, the freaking cigarette in his mouth. He is definitely an Aizawa type character. And I'm just like, okay, I think I can get behind this. Especially the way he, like, confronts Asta for, like, just, like, bumping into him. Not even, like, actually attacking him, but just bothering him. You know, we see that he's kind of a hard ass. He's kind of like, are you, like...
You want to die?
What are you doing to me, peasant type? Like, basically. So, I really, really already like Yami's character just for that reason.
It's funny you make that comparison.
We see... Oh, really?
Yeah, it's funny you make that comparison because they're actually just both my favorite characters in their own series. So, you know, Aizawa and Yami are top tier.
And we learned that Yami is actually the captain of the Magic Knight Squad, the Black Bulls. We'll learn about them a little bit later, but he definitely seems like a hard ass here when we first meet him. And we see the first glimpse of the Magic Knights. We learn about the kind of, I guess there's top tiers of them. You know, there's a tier based in the sense of like popularity, probably strength as well. We don't really see that at all in the first volume yet. But it says here, the captain of the strongest Magic Knight squad is Golden Dawn. So right there we see, okay, there are somewhat of tiers with them. Mm-hmm. You don't get to see a whole lot of them as far as introductions. I'm sure we will get that later on. But, we learn that one of the basic things or techniques that a wizard or mage could do, with being, magically gifted is to ride a broom. And, you know, Yuna shows off freaking standing on his broom, like looking like a badass. Or dude, it's see, like I said, in the sense of comparisons, Yuna is Sasuke. He is definitely Sasuke, the gifted one, being able to do what everybody asks him in like an extra type of way. And freaking Asta can't do shit about it. he can't ride a broom whatsoever because, like we said before, he is not magically gifted. So at this point, you're just like, he's dead. Like he's not getting into these squads. He's not going to be able to do anything, and it's going to be heartbreaking. But in this mindset, I was like, okay, he's not magically gifted. He's going to have to really work for this type of thing. And they start squaring up for duels. And in a weird way, they're able to pick their own opponents, which I think is super flawed. Like, especially with Asta being there. Like, there's even a comment that somebody's like, oh, man, he picked the weakest guy? Man, I was wanting to pick that dude. Because everybody knows, okay, pick the weakest guy, and you're for sure getting in.
Oh, type of mentality. A magic duel with the guy who can't even fly on a broom? Like, I'll take that, yeah.
And, you know, at that point, I was just like, that's completely unfair. It's uncool. But Asta sees it as like, oh, man, this is so great. Like, am I actually getting to get into a magical duel? And I'm just like, dude, you're such an idiot. Like, why? Why do you have so much excitement for this thing?
Because this is what he's ready for, Clay.
This guy does... He is defense-based. He does this... cannonball like defense sphere, and it's all around him. And he even says, you know, I can't do much on the offense, but what I can do is defense, and some, you know, squads need that. And so I'm like, okay, so we're learning a little bit more about random people. So we're upping our character roster here. But not by much, because my favorite page in this entire volume comes up next. Because he's like, come on, dude, what you gonna do? You can't do shit. You can't do shit to me. And Asta coming in here like 2020 just fucking knocks this dude on the fucking floor. It is amazing.
Dex him. And
like, the sword comes out of nowhere. It is awesome. The way they draw it here, coming out of the grimoire, it's almost like nobody really expects it, because nobody does. And you see this guy, he has that oh shit moment, like, at the last second, which is amazing. I absolutely love the way they portray this. And I will always say it, just because I'm technically still newer to mangas, I love the balance of humor with badassery.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really do enjoy it, because like this, the guy's like, what? And then a second later, he is on the floor, his defense shield completely shattered, and everyone is astounded. Everybody is speechless. Everybody's just like, what the fuck did we just watch?
Mm.
Like, how is the guy who can't ride a broom able to do that? And the only one, or the only two people who don't seem surprised whatsoever is Yami and Yuno. Of course, Yuno, because he's already seen this before, but Yami just seems like, okay, I get you. You know, like, you may be the small dog, but you have a big bite type of thing. That's something that at that point, I think with chapter 2 was when I was like, okay, I have to keep reading more. Like, chapter 1 was like, okay, I'm learning a little bit more about what this book will be about, but chapter 2 with that moment is just like, oh shit.
So yeah, no, this was definitely another great chapter with this whole Magic Knight entrance exam. But one thing I want you to keep in mind, and I want you to kind of try to pay attention towards, I'll give it, since you're just starting off, and, you know, just kind of, as your friend, to give you some useful advice to, and anybody else listening who might be starting the manga as well, but Yuki Tabata, the author of the manga, the mangaka, he loves foreshadowing. He loves the little details, and... Okay. Like you mentioned, there was the wizard, the older wizard, who had remembered and kind of noticed Asta's grimoire. But I don't know if you also recognized the other panel in chapter 2 that...
Oh, with the guy from the other squad.
The Golden Dawn.
Like the really badass looking... Yeah, the Golden Dawn. He said something about the grimoire as well. So this grimoire... is known. This grimoire is known, but at what capacity, we still don't know. And people may fear it more than they are just, like, side-eyeing it, you know? So that's what I'm getting. That's the kind of feeling that I'm getting, especially since we have already seen that, or heard, that this five-leaf clover is the sign of the devil. You know, that can't be... good.
No.
In my mind.
No. So maybe it's not...
Especially for somebody who doesn't necessarily know anything about magic or necessarily have magical abilities, it could be kind of scary. So I am prepared to see something. What that may be, I might not be prepared.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to say it's something necessarily. It might be that more of that it's the unknown that they're afraid of, because that is, you know, what people are afraid of, what they don't know. So... I mean, I don't want to say it's either or, but I mean, definitely there's just a lot of foreshadowing. Even in this volume alone, in my head, I could think of three huge instances of foreshadowing that probably won't come about until at least 100 chapters later. But when these...
That's insane.
And when these reveals do come out, like, there's one that I still don't even know, but it's like a mystery that, like, we're still trying to figure out, but... It is, like, teased in this first volume. So it's, mm-hmm. like, it's kind of hard. Like, I don't know if you're following me exactly, but, like, It's just like Yuki Tabata is like the master of foreshadowing. I cannot think of anybody else who puts just like the tiniest little details in his artwork that will, like, if you think back to it 200 chapters later and you're like, holy crap, he had it right in front of our faces 200 chapters ago. So,
see, I will say I have been one to, because Mark has told me about it and my other co-host on Batman News Weekly has told me that I'm very good at remembering, like, certain panels or certain details. So I hope that I can keep everything in my mind for, you know, 200 chapters later. You know, I will say, one, that if nobody has read My Hero Academia and you want to, I would say skip about 3 minutes, because I will say one big spoiler here. When I read that, because I just recently read it within the last 2 weeks, when Shigaraki's grandmother was All Might's teacher, holy shit, that hit me right in the heart.
Dude.
Because of that backstory. And I was like, oh my god, how are they connected like that? That is fucking insane. Anyway.
Oh, Shigaraki is my favorite character in the manga right now. Like, where the everything's at, he's the best. He's the best. He's like,
I am almost caught up. I am at 250 right now when I know they're at like 270 something. So
okay.
I am right there. I think in 2 weeks I will be completely caught up. But I don't know what I'm ready for, because I just read that Endeavor is just now finding out that there is going to be some sort of attack on Tokyo. With, you know, and that is why they're bringing up all the junior heroes to like go on their work studies and all that stuff. But let's go ahead and move on to chapter 3. Chapter 3, we learn that, you know, this is the aspect of the Magic Knights choosing who they want on their squad. And I was expecting Yuno and Asta to be like one of the first 10. You learn that they are like in the hundreds whenever it comes to people that are choosing or whatnot. And because we get to see before that, we get to see Yuno take on one person. And this person is kind of like talking smack to him or whatever. And Yuno takes him out in literally one move, just like Asta did, but with less effort. He is literally just like, like one swipe of his hand and the dude goes flying. But, and everybody takes notice of it. Everybody takes notice, because when they get to the point of choosing Yuno, it is the way they say it is, okay, if a squad wants you, they will raise your hand. If a squad doesn't want you, they will not raise your hand. And if no squads want you, you are not getting into a squad. That's just the way it works. Mm-hmm. And it is time for Yuno to go up and be evaluated. And every single captain raises their hand.
Crazy.
And you're just like, oh, snap. Like, this is how you know this dude is just super gifted. Everybody seems to know that he may be the actual Wizard King in the future. Now, when Asta goes up, and he's like, okay, I got this. Just stand here. People will raise their hand. And no one raises their hand.
Yeah.
And, like, you're like, oh, no. Like, how, like, what is this? What's going on? But Yami gets up and he doesn't raise his hand. He does this entire big speech, kind of, like, belittling Asta,
mm-hmm.
in a sense. And Asta's just like, no, fuck you, dude. Like, I am, like, I'm not just some random guy. I may not be magically inclined or whatever, but I'm going to work my hardest to one day be the Wizard King. And everybody kind of laughs at him, but Yami does too, but in an entirely different manner. He's like, you know what, dude? You have guts. I want you to join the Black Bulls. And Ass is like, fuck yeah. Like, he doesn't care whether he is in the top tier of squads or not. Somebody actually chose him, and I think that's all he cares about. Mm-hmm. Now, there is a literal poop joke here, and Asta is needing to use the restroom, but that guy that got beat by Asta is... He didn't get chosen at all.
No, he did.
I don't
he
think.
Did. By a, he a did low, get chosen. One okay. of the lowest ranking squads. Seke is
that's right,
Seke
that's
is
right.
a loser. Let's get out. Seke is a fucking loser.
Okay. Okay, so that's his name, Seke. And he makes that comment about, you know, he got one of the lower ranked squads, and so he is using his grimoire to summon a poisonous lizard or gecko or whatever. It says poison lizard. And you know... summons a fucking phoenix or hawk or whatever. It's a white hawk. And he picks up the lizard, destroys it, and he talks to Seke, and he's just like, dude, you were not even on Asta's level, so don't even fucking bother. And you're just like, fuck. Oh, fuck.
You, that's when you really learn like how much respect Yuno has for Asta. And like, you know Yuno's a badass.
That's
what I really...
That's the thing, and that's what I love. You know, Yuno could literally not give a fuck about Asta because of how powerful he is. About, you know, we just saw that he was wanted by every single magical squad in the Magic Knights. Like, he is literally the top dog and could go about his business not caring about anybody. But with the amount of respect he has for Asta, he truly does care. Mm-hmm. And I love that relationship. I hope, like, I know that every book needs controversy, and I'm sure there will be probably some butting heads. I don't know if it'll be as, like, dangerous or as crazy as Naruto went as far as the relationship with Sasuke and Naruto. But this, I want more of this, what Asta and Yuno have, 'cause it's great. And, you know, freaking Asta gets out of there without even knowing what Yuno did. Like, Yuno was able to walk away before it even before he even got the chance to see anything. But we see Asta get to the headquarters of the Black Bulls, and we see the really crazy gang that is in this squad.
what a group of guys and girls.
It is a crazy group, and I actually wrote some notes down here for chapter 4. We get the introduction to the Black Bulls. But the most important thing about this chapter is Magna's baptism that he has for Asta. And it's this fight. It's this fight where he's like, okay, you have to duel me. And he is a fire-based type. Well, he uses fire. I don't think that... Because, correct me if I'm wrong, these wizards, mages, whatever you want to call them, are they, like, one specialty, or can they do anything when it comes to their magic?
It's one specialty. It is.
So we saw that that Yuno is, like, wind-based.
Yes.
We see here that Magna is fire-based, and I think we see it a little bit more because they do go on a mission at the very end of this volume mm-hmm. that we will talk about later. But he throws a fireball at Asta, and he gets his sword out. He's about to, like, freaking home run this thing, slice it in half, whatever. But at the last possible second, Asta's just like, oh, fuck. I'm dead. Like, he doesn't know what to do, because he knows that if he cuts it, he's just going to get hit by two fireballs mm-hmm. if he cuts it the wrong way. So he is thinking, which is great for a hero. He has a brain. Good.
It's a great start.
But, yeah, and so he has this wild idea of hitting it on the flat base of the sword. And it goes hurtling back towards Magna. And freaking Yami and some of the other people, like, come up with this realization that, you know, his sword is able to, well, it says here, the edge of the blade cuts magic while the flat side of it repels it. Mm-hmm. So he's able to repel magic. And he literally had no idea. It was just like just luck of the draw. So you're seeing, okay, he is an idiot, but I love him for it. And Magna just like shrugs it off. It's not like this big thing, like he was trying to be a big dog on campus type thing. He was literally just like, okay, cool, dude, you're fucking awesome. That rocked.
Yeah.
Let's do it. And that was another thing that I really liked about this squad. It wasn't like these group of guys that were going to be hazing Asta until like the fucking end of time. They weren't bullies. They welcomed him with open arms. And I really do enjoy that. We don't have to go through all this bullshit of Asta still being the small guy or whatnot, because it kind of seems like the Black Bulls aren't one of the top tier squads. That is just something of my, you know, just reading this book. I feel like they're not like one of the top dogs, you know?
Definitely not. No.
So, they give him this cloak that, you know, that was the one thing, is that if he wanted a cloak, then he had to duel Magna. So he gets his cloak. I love their fucking symbol for their insignia or whatever. Mm-hmm. But we see a random other girl that is teased at chapter 5 being the other new recruit or the other new member.
Yes.
In the beginning, right here in the beginning, we do see she has silver hair, and her name is Noelle Silva.
Yes.
And she attacks Magna in, like, the weirdest way, and we'll get to the reason why. And she plays it off like, oh, well, you shouldn't have been standing there. It's your fault. You know, that was completely your fault. But it definitely looks like she intended on hitting Asta. And we find out that she is royalty. She is part of the Silva family, which is apparently the they have always been a part of the Golden. What is the squad again?
They're actually a part of the Silver Eagles.
Silver Eagles. Oh, sorry. Yes. Okay, sorry.
No.
So we learn that. Well, before we learn anything about her, you know, Magna does the whole, like, hey, here's your room, kind of getting him settled in or whatnot. And it is the most disgusting prison cell of a room, dude. And he is just happy to have his own room. He is literally, like, you have to remember, this guy was an orphan.
Mm-hmm.
And to see how excited he is, he's like, I got my own fucking room. Like, literally, this is what happens. Exactly. This is what happens when you are a not so, you know, wealthy family that has more than one kid and they have to share a room and they finally get a house to have their own rooms. This is how I felt whenever I got my first room, because me and my brothers always shared rooms until basically middle school. And I was like, oh, I get my own room? Oh my God. And it was the greatest thing ever. I totally feel how, I totally get how Asta feels here. And this is where we see Noelle practicing her magic. And she drew this target on a tree. And we see how many times she has missed the fucking target.
A lot.
We learn that she has no control over her magic. And it is basically a reason why they've basically disowned her. Her family has basically disowned her in a weird sense. They weren't just going to give her the immediate, okay, you're going to be in the Silver Eagles because you're family. No, like, she is almost a disgrace to them. And she is so frustrated with this, she accidentally encases herself in her own magic. Terrifying.
Yeah.
Absolutely terrifying. And the best thing about it was Yami's like, how are we going to fix this? Oh, you. We now know that you can destroy magic. And freaking Ass is like, how am I supposed to get up there? He's like, don't worry. And fucking launches him like a fucking...
He yeeted him. Dude. He yeeted
totally
him
totally yeeted him. And, but he's able to cut the magic perfectly. He's able to cut the bubble. They are not so graciously saved by the Angel Gate. And, you know, Yami's just like, all right, dude, that was awesome. Like, you're great. Awesome, dude. Like, that positive reinforcement is in the worst way possible just because he fucking threw him. And, like, again, these people don't make fun of Noelle for not having control of her power. They're like, okay, we're all flawed. You should have told us this. We can help you with that. And again, this is something that she probably wouldn't have gotten if she were to, you know, join her family's squad or joined any other higher up, top tier, whatever you want to call them, squad. And so I really love this dynamic. She will probably be a little, you know, stuck up because of her being royalty, but that's probably something she'll have to work on as well. Now, these last two chapters. Well, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say, Noelle, she has a very rough start, but she is like a total fan favorite. I'm by like, you know, current, like where the manga is right now, there is a huge Noelle stan following. Like, she is like one of the biggest fan favorites for sure. And I got to agree, she is like one of the top five characters. She has a lot of great character development, and you know, she turns out to be a total badass.
Now, in chapter 6, we get the full formal introduction to all of the other squad mates. I will say this, I don't care what this says about my character. Vanessa is bae. I'm just going to say that now. She is awesome.
Yes.
She, like, the way she, like, for one thing that, of course, is very obvious, she is in nothing here, especially in these first chapters that you see her. She is literally just wearing her cloak with bras and panties. But the way she presents herself in the way that, like, how she's talking, she almost doesn't really give a fuck, which is awesome. I absolutely love that about her.
I mean, she's a drunken witch. I mean, that's her description.
Yeah. And it says here, a booze-loving witch who was expelled from a distinguished family. That is a friend that I can get behind.
Right.
She's just like, oh, you guys are super famous? Yeah, I don't give a fuck. I'm going to do whatever I want. And that's the kind of attitude that I really feel like is what leads the Black Bulls. And so I really want to love this squad.
Hey, I got to say if I was like to join any of these squads, like if I had a choice, like, if, you know, like I was, you know, and everyone raised their hand, I would have gone with the Black Bulls because like they speak to my personality on like a super high level. Like I would fit in with the Misfits. Like that's where I would belong.
Well, and me as well, because just my personality, I feel like I am very much like Luck. He is a happy go-getter, very enthusiastic about being the hero. But I am also, I feel like Charmy is my spirit animal because of how much she eats in this entire chapter. And
that's all
ever
she does.
Since the beginning, like, I was going to say, even when she didn't say anything, when you first saw her in, like, the beginning of chapter, like, 4, or the ending, the beginning of chapter 4, you see, like an overview of everybody in there, and you see her eating. And she is constantly eating. That is literally my spiritual animal. Now, we see, of course, Luck. We see Gachi. Is that his name?
Gosh.
Or Gosh.
Yeah,
sorry.
No,
he is a former prisoner with a hopeless sister complex. He actually just seems like a really weird creep.
Yeah, that's up for debate. Yeah. Yeah, that's, I don't know what now, he gets his whole nosebleeds over his, like, 8-year-old sister. I don't know, but, like, people know, like, nosebleeds are, like, related to, like, erections and Japanese cultures, like, rumored or anime or I don't know, but then there's people who say it's not, and it's just nosebleeds are a sign of,
it's,
I don't know.
It's weird.
It's fucking weird. Let's just leave it at that, yeah.
Yeah, he has, it says here, he has a hopeless sister complex.
I don't even know what the fuck that means.
One.
I don't.
I guess it means that he is overly protective and, like, kind of, like, in a brotherly way, I would hope, and, like, just loves his sister. But, yeah, very weird. I guess he's just as weird 200 chapters later.
Yeah.
Shit. One thing I will say, though, is one person that, of course, is very, very interesting that I would want to learn more, and guessing by his, I guess, name, we may not get to know him. I don't know. You probably know because you're over 200 chapters in, but Gray. Real name is unknown. He is a master of transformation magic. He actually transforms into Asta and says hi. You know, he's looking forward to working on missions with him. So everybody seems very enthusiastic. But just knowing that his name is not known, like, mystery, like, you know, mystery just is like, oh man, who are you? Like, what makes you so intriguing? So I'm excited to learn more about Gray. And of course, we all know Magna. And we go on to our first mission. And it's Magna, Noelle, and Asta. They're all, going on to their first mission. All right, let's get on your broomsticks. And Noelle doesn't even know how to ride a broomstick either. So again, you're just like, okay, we understand it may have to do something with being unable to control her magic. Maybe she will learn how to, you know, ride a broom later. But they go on to this mission because the first mission is more like a favor because they help some people out. And they said, okay, well, if we do this, then, you know, we'll come back later and do this for you or something like that along those lines. Now, they go into this village, and it's completely surrounded in mist or smoke. I think it's mist. Yeah. And, of course, smart thinking on Magna's part is that, okay, Asta can cut magic. He can cut away all this mist. And all of the village is kept hostage under these, like, I would guess it's like ice, mm-hmm. these icicles or rocks or whatnot. But this random dude is keeping them hostage. Magna is able to destroy everything up top, you know, keeping these people out of danger. And this, do we learn this guy's name? I don't know if you even learn this guy's name at all.
I know his name is Heath.
In this chapter. Okay, Heath. We will probably learn that later, but it doesn't hurt to learn his name now. He is just like, I'm just going to be here to kill everybody. That's basically his mission statement at this point. And he throws this huge thing of ice at Asta, and Asta's like, oh, fuck no, and cuts it like a fucking boss. Again, great art. And the one thing that I love about chapter 6 and 7 is the fact that we learn that Asta will always help the little guy. He is, because he's been the little guy before. And we saw that character in him when he saved Yuno as a kid as well. So I think that's the biggest thing that comes out of this entire last chapter of Volume 1. And, you know, this Heath guy, he literally tries everything he can to fuck with Asta, and it just doesn't work. It absolutely doesn't work. And Magna even helps him out, and Noelle kind of seems a little hopeless because, of course, she is unable to control her quirk, but this little girl is like, are you going to save us?
Help me.
And this, yeah, basically. And I love these moments, especially they happen all the time in animes and mangas or whatnot. It's that one person that is asking for help that inspires greatness on mm-hmm. people. It's just those moments that are actually really, really fucking awesome. And she creates a fucking sea dragon and just wipes him out. Like, completely, like, is about to wipe him out. And the way it works is, what does it say? He says, there's something here that says, what does it say? Oh, it says right here. Fuck, there's something about, like, Asta not having any magic. And why, I forget why that was so significant with this attack. It's something about his attack will...
Oh, yeah, he asked him if he had enough magic to join the Magic Knights. And then Asta replies back. He said, I have no magic. So, yeah, that's his actually... I think this is the first... I don't know if they come out and say it before, but yeah, he actually has zero magic. He was one of the only people in the entire series to have, well, that so far that we know of, that has zero magic.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people who have low, low, low levels of magic, but this guy has none, which will be a...
So it's really interesting that this grimoire has chosen him. So again, something as far as the unknown, you know, kind of terrifying. But we will soon learn about that, hopefully, in the future volumes. So, overall thoughts. I know that you are in love with this manga.
I am.
But first volume, high-level thoughts. What do you think about this?
I felt like it was a really good introduction for as far as getting to know, like, a fair share of the characters without, you know, jumping too far into a complex story. It really kind of took its first six chapters even, just kind of introducing you and giving you a feel for everybody who's going to be pretty much the more main pivotal characters for the continuation of the next 100 chapters or so, which I really enjoyed that. That's one of my favorite things about this series is the diverse cast of just people that, you know, they have so many different interesting characters. My favorite people we haven't even seen or met or even heard about yet. It's just something that you can always be expecting to find more interesting, you know, characters around each chapter. But, you know, as far as volume one, it did a great job laying the groundwork for that. And, you know, Asta and, you know, their dynamic, like you mentioned, is almost comparable to Sasuke and Naruto. But at the same time, they have that, you know, huge difference where they're not, you know, they're rivals, sure, but they're not, you know, head to head, you know, butting heads. Where they're more as like brothers, like a brotherly rivalry.
Yeah, yeah, and I think I like that a lot more because I don't want this book. I'm sure that you can find like the top five tropes or stereotypes of mangas that can be in almost every book, but the rivalry between two people that have been friends or whatnot from childhood, I think one is one that I don't necessarily need in every hero story. So learning that they do have mad respect for each other and hopefully will have that type of respect going in the future, I'm sure there will be some instances where squads are put against each other, whether it be more evaluations, whether it be you know, certain competitions or whatever. I'm not really recognized in this world yet, but I'm excited to see what Asta will go through going forward. I'm excited for the Black Bulls. I got really inspired by that first volume to probably, when I finally get a restock of my spray paints, to do some Black Clover spray paint stuff. So I'm getting super excited about that. But thank you guys so much for listening. Jake, let them know where they can find you.
You can find me on Twitter at Nerdgrounds, and you can check out the Nerdgrounds podcast wherever your podcasts are available.
Awesome. And, of course, you can always find me Instagram, Twitter, at FanboyClay, and, of course, the show as well on Instagram and Twitter. This is going to be on Thursday, so, of course, you will have episodes to listen to tomorrow and on Saturday. So thank you so much for listening, and we will see you guys tomorrow.
Thank you for having me, Clay. I had a great time.
Yep. See you later.